The thing that was hardest for me was looking back to my teen years. It wasn't the anger that, you know, the normal conflict in family. The thing that I regretted most was apathy. It was that we lived together under the same roof for that many years, and I took her for granted so many days.
Well, that was Jessie Manassian, author of Family, How to Love Yours and Help Them Like You Back. That is a hard commentary from her, talking about when her mom, when she found out her mom had cancer and just the regrets she had around that. And I think all of us have certain regrets around our relationships with family, specifically our parents. We're going to be talking about that shortly. But first of all, this week's show, I want to remind you, is being sponsored by the New King James Version Unapologetic Study Bible. It's going to equip, encourage, and embolden you to live and share what you believe. So get a free sample at unapologeticbible.com. Later on in the show, for our inbox, we are going to answer a question from someone who is doing all she can but has no luck getting a job. Fortunately, our Director of Human Resources, Lisa Ruman, is going to answer that. And then we'll be back with Jessie Manassian for our culture segment, talking about relating to your family on a number of different levels. Speaking of family, we have our fun roundtable team here today to talk about family relationships, specifically with our parents. Kind of that idea of what are some hard things kind of that you've had to grapple with your parents, either just relating to them, maybe stuff like baggage that you got from them that you haven't quite gotten over yet or whatever. But Jake, Catherine, and Matt are here. Hey, guys.
Hey.
What'd it be?
All right.
We're
so
the fun team.
Apparently, yeah, what, like just before we begin, what's
she
a quick little embarrassing parent moment that you have? Jake, go.
Okay. So my freshman year of high school, I was playing football, and my mom, I was homeschooled, so my mom would drop me off.
That's the embarrassing thing. Wow, yeah. Jake.
No. Hold on. She would drop me off, and I would go change in the locker room. And so this particular day, I go change in the locker room, and then I come back out to the field to practice, and I see there's no coaches out there yet, but I see all the team gathered around. I'm like, am I late for something? I thought the coaches were still in their office. I get out to the field to see what is going on, and my mom had gone to the field with all my teammates, had gathered them all around her, and was giving them all a lesson in abstinence.
Oh, because, my word.
Because homecoming was that night. And
had
so
you
she
just
thought,
told some stories or something?
She thought she would come and tell the whole freshman football team about saving themselves and not sleeping with their homecoming date.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
I applaud her.
Mine is not that public.
Bold faith.
That's bold.
Bold faith. It's very bold.
All right, Catherine, go ahead.
But I was talking to my mom on the phone, and I told her the first name of this guy that I had gone on a date with. And so we finished the conversation and hung up. And about 20 minutes later, I get this text, and she was like, oh my gosh, he, and like starts telling me stuff about him, and she had found him on Facebook.
Oh no.
I don't know how, because his name's pretty common.
Your moms are good, like, on Facebook,
yeah.
Somehow.
Like sneaky good.
And she had like figured out online, things about him that I didn't know yet, and I was Mom, like, all right, Mag, you go.
Helpful. Yeah. That's very helpful of her.
Mine,
I appreciate her.
Mine's maybe just more odd than embarrassing, but I grew up on a farm, and that meant I had a lot of weird freedoms that other children didn't have. Like, I had an axe as a child that I just like played with, and it was quite sharp and ran around and chopped everything. And there was this is not like an Abraham Lincoln parallel or anything, but there was like an old cherry tree in our yard.
That was Washington, I think.
Oh, well, yeah, whatever.
It's a fake story anyway.
It's a good thing.
Clearly, Matt
good thing
was
I spent
not
so much time outside and not reading books.
It's not a Lincoln parallel either. Okay. It's not anybody. Okay,
go ahead.
But anyway, I had this hatchet, and it was actually a sharper, bigger one than I was supposed to have at the time, I remember, like, because I kind of like,
you can have an axe, but you can't have the big sharp one.
Yeah, I like got it down off this upper rack.
Hey,
in our
your
garage.
Mom gave it to your friend. Anyway,
I was chopping this tree, which is I knew I could chop because it was dead. And then for some reason, I was started throwing the hatchet up in the air and trying to stick the blade into the ground. And at one point, my dad walked by and I hit him in the head with it.
Oh,
it was like
as it was coming down,
inches away from killing my dad. It just the handle hit him.
Oh man!
But like I looked up and I knew he was really angry. And my dad's not like a violent man or anything. But, like I could tell he was upset,
he
and
was
I didn't want
to
get in
the
trouble.
To you, yeah.
So I ran inside and hid under my bed. And I think he came in a little while later and just like sat on the bed and started talking to me or something. I don't quite remember. I just remember the terror of like having almost killed my dad as a child.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my word. Okay. Mine was when I was in high school, I was in love with my youth pastor, because who isn't? Of the women. He was super cute. And I went on a 9-day backpacking trip with my high school group. And there weren't that many. There were like 9 guys and 2 of us girls. And neither of us girls had ever been backpacking. We didn't know what we were in for. And so, like, the day before we were to set out, and this was a nine-day trip. This was hardcore. The day before we set out, both my friend and I, sorry guys, gotta say it, got our periods. And we were like, we can't go on this trip. This is crazy. What do you do? We're like reading books, and they're like, just throw everything into a fire. And we're like, oh yeah, like it's going to be a campfire, and we're just going to be throwing products in there.
Right.
Yeah, with all these guys.
Anyway, as we burn this stuff.
So I was kind of lamenting this to my mom. Well, then we go on this, we decide to go. I told my mom, and she's like, oh, honey, don't worry about it. So our first day out, Jeanette and I are like going into the woods very often, let's be honest. And we come out, and you know, all the guys are waiting for us, and my youth pastor comes over and he's like, Lisa, I just want you to know that your mom talked to me about this and gave me the whole scoop on what's going on, and the guys and I are just gonna wait for you two. And it was so embarrassing, because really I wanted to marry him. And then
now,
this is why it never worked out.
He didn't talk to him anymore.
Once he knew you had this just like every other woman.
That was too much.
But it was too much. Okay. So,
Your mom was looking out for you. I respect that, man.
So was your mom and your friends.
She was very caring. Yeah. She was very caring. Yeah. Okay, but on a more serious note, there are times in our lives, if you look back on your relationship with your parents or just the way that they have influenced you, I mean, parents bring their own baggage, their own stuff into parenting, and then you throw crazy kids into the mix, and there's just can be potential for a lot of hurt and conflict. And quite frankly, we might feel like in some aspects our parents have let us down. And I think this is even more true now, because there's so many books and stuff, blogs out there on parenting. And so you look and you see like these superstar parents or just people like pastors that you're sure their kids are all perfect and whatever. And you're like, that's not my family. So why not? but I want to talk about this today because I think it's great. I think it's a great thing for us to encourage, you know, one another with. And those of you listening, I'm hoping you're going to weigh in on the blog on this, because talking about your relationship with your parents, we all tend to want to idealize that or make it seem like our situation was maybe better than it was. But does anyone, just kicking it off, like, what would you say, like, okay, I'm actually going to make, sometimes I just make people rate people, okay? I just put it out there. We're rating people. Oh, no, your relationship with your parents, like, from, not when you're a kid, but let's talk about, like, from high school on now into young adulthood, from 0 to 10, health, openness, you know, just all the good stuff. Where would you kind of rate it? No shame in saying this, because we're all going to improve our relationships. But
like, I have to rate the entire timeline or just individual ratings life. For high school and college
seasons.
And season? Yeah.
Okay.
Like, because seasonally for me with my parents, it's going to be a lot different than if I had to rate the whole timeline.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, and again, we're not rating
rough,
your parents.
You
we're rating your relationship.
Well, yeah,
parents.
That's what I mean. No,
that
specifically my relationship with my parents.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe give us your early to mid 20s. Yeah.
I like that.
If you can remember that far.
Yeah. All right. Let me dig that back up.
Oh, my word.
Just kidding.
Now that I'm in my late 20s. Mm-hmm. Early to mid 20s for my relationship with my parents was actually a time of a lot of healing overall, because the relationship was really rough, particularly between my mom and I through high school. Mm. And so it was my early 20s that relationship started to heal, that we were able to have some good, you know, face-to-face conversations about the stuff that had gone down in high school between her and I that had done a lot of damage to the relationship. Like, I would rate our high school, in high school, my relationship with my mom was probably a 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
So in my early to mid 20s, there was a lot of healing. And so I would say it bumped up into like the range of like a 7.
Okay. And what would you say, I mean, and not that you have to like totally diss your mom or anything, but what would you say overall was the biggest contributing factor to strife between you and your mom?
It was really, we came to a very different worldview when it came to relationships with the opposite sex. I had been, you know, she was fully on board with the I kiss dating goodbye and okay. courtship. And I hit a point in high school where it was like, no, I think I want to get to know this girl better. And that, and we have very opposite personalities. So mm-hmm. we would have a lot of conflict anyways.
Okay.
But that brought it to a head. And then there were some external problems as well that just caused almost every interaction we had to be explosive.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that is a hard question because for me, it would be like, even just in 1 year, it would change a lot. I felt like recently anyway. Overall right now, I would say, I would give it probably a 6 or 7. I feel like it's above average, but I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of misunderstanding still, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Fair.
Yeah. I lived at home for a year, and that was really interesting and kind of like exposed a lot of stuff in me and exposed, I don't know, it gave me a perspective. And then I recently moved a couple states away from my parents, and so that's a whole new dynamic. And I'm trying to figure out how to honor them from a distance.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. so
no,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I actually have a similar scenario to that where I moved away a couple of years ago, but it was quite a distance from Michigan to Colorado. And if there's a characterization from the 20s to the high school era, I think there's a lot of adjustment there where I was gaining these freedoms that my parents had never really recognized as freedoms before. Like, I think in high school, like, there were very few rules.
Well, they let you have an axe when you were a kid, so they can't be too strict.
Right. Yeah, you can trust a kid. If you can trust a kid with an axe, you can trust a high schooler with a car and a late arrival time.
Still bitter. No.
I'm saying, like, that's what they did trust me.
Yeah. Oh,
and
okay,
then all
okay.
of a sudden,
gotcha.
Like, I reached the college years, and even now, like, well, now it's different if I go home and visit. But in the college years, we probably had more strife just over little things like that because all of a sudden, I think they were very concerned that, like, you know, he's older, he's more mature, but that means he could get into more stuff maybe, and we don't know how to navigate. Like, I'm the youngest child by a good margin, so my parents hadn't gone through this transition for, like, a decade or more. So there was a lot of, like, responsibility and freedom shift there. And now
that's how I feel, because I'm the youngest, but my older brother hasn't moved away, and so that's a new, like, I feel like the oldest in some sense, like, it's a new territory, yeah. Which sounds like what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And now that, like, I live practically abroad from them and the whole family, like, everybody is in Michigan, all relatively close, within an hour of one another. And now I'm out in Colorado, and I think, like, in some ways, maybe I'm, like, the wayward child. And they're like, so when are you moving back home? I'm like, I live out here now. Like, I really do. Like, oh, mm-hmm. Do you have a good job out there? I have a career out here.
Mm-hmm. But would you guys agree that, I mean, for me, my relationship with my parents has been one of the things that has stressed me out the most in this time of my life.
Well, what aspects of it are you saying? Other than the idea of, like, how to honor them. Like, give us a specific example.
Just that I, in general, oh, man, I don't know. It's hard for me to put one specific, like, here is the problem, mm-hmm. because maybe that's it. It's like, I don't know why we can't seem to understand each other, but we don't.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. so, I mean, like, just talking to my mom on the phone sometimes, I'll be upset about something and she'll be upset and neither one of us understands why the other person's upset.
Okay.
So it's not, I don't know. Like, that's what makes it hard, is that I don't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I think for me, it got to the point where I think I grew up, even though I'm similar to Jake in that my junior high and high school years, especially with my dad, were really rocky because I was super, like I would say, and he's with the Lord now, so he's all good. But so I'm just going to put this out there. I would say there were times when he was living out the whole fathers exasperating their children. Like, he would just be super stubborn about stuff. But then I would counter him in that. And rather than honoring and respecting him, I would logically argue him to the death till he was so beyond, like, he was so frustrated with me, he couldn't even figure out what to do. So I would say I went through that season, then had a great season with him in my 20s and stuff like that. But it was still very, I look back on those years growing up as very almost idyllic, in the sense of, I thought big thing. My parents had been missionaries. My dad was a pastor. I think I had this rose-colored glasses perception of my parents. And then it's like now in the last 10 to 15 years, I'm seeing the little chinks in the armor of like, oh, you know, uncovering patterns of just dysfunction in our family, realizing that neither of my parents did conflict too well. And we would just kind of like blow up about something. And then my mom's big thing was just drop it. Okay, just drop, put it under the blood. Or she'd have all these like spiritual cliches of like smackdowns,
so
you know.
Disturbing.
So I've had to go back and realize, okay, how do you, quote, be real while still honoring your parents and not constantly calling them out on everything and trying to be their Holy Spirit?
So. And for me, like recently, I was just in conversation with my friends twice, two different days, different scenarios. They were both like, I think you let your parents have too much control over your life. But I don't even think it's my parents' fault. I just think in my head, I have to please them always. And it's like totally unhealthy and not fair to them either.
Hmm. Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah.
And another interesting dynamic too that I've run into, and I'm curious if you guys have run into, is I have a really, really good relationship with my dad. And even when my mom and I were having a tough time, like it did cause like conflict between my dad and I, because I was like, Dad, come on, you know she's being crazy, right? And he would be a good husband, you know. And I look back now, and he would not throw her under the bus in those moments, and that made me mad. I wanted him to agree with me then, but all to say, I still have there's still a point where I have a hard time interact. Like, I really love my dad, and I have these conflicts with my mom, and how do I balance that dynamic to honor his wife and my mom when I have a different relationship with him than I do with her?
Right. Well, so embarrassing story. Recently, I was disagreeing with my mom on the phone, and I texted my brother to vent about it, and she was using my brother's phone.
Oh,
so she saw what I wrote.
Oh.
Yeah. I felt so bad.
Oh,
and I
my.
Probably shouldn't have even texted him in the first place. But in that moment, you're like, I need to vent. Who do I turn to? And I guess God. I mean, what do you think, Lisa? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
because I can't just go to my friends and be like, my mom, like, I feel like that's disrespectful too.
Yeah.
But.
Well, first of all, I think that is a great training ground for just maturity and owning. I mean, I would say to my own detriment, I did not learn the value of confession and repentance and truly, you know, humbling myself probably until well into my 20s, even into my 30s. And so I think anytime, I mean, I would say, you know, first up, it's coming clean with your mom and saying, okay, Mom, that was inappropriate. I shouldn't have done that. I'm so sorry. I realize, you know, and, you know, keep short accounts. So whether it's your mom doing something against you or vice versa, you know, making sure to own your behavior and apologize and you know, circle back and let her know that she's still loved despite that. But yeah, but when you want... when you want to vent, that's why the psalmist says in Psalms, pour out your complaint to God.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, that's
God
it.
Doesn't have
there's
a cell
good,
phone.
There's a good reason for that. Yeah, exactly. He's not going to lend his cell phone to other people.
That's the millennial quote of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Millennial quote.
Yeah. I mean, so then I get into this cycle of like, I feel like a terrible daughter. And, you know, I'm like, how do you fix? I don't know. Do you guys, I mean, Matt, do you not feel like...
I mean, in some ways, I've felt like a terrible son ever since I moved to Colorado because of the gap in communication. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it doesn't necessarily relate, but, like, my biggest struggle with that is, like, how do I show my parents that I love them still when we talk, like once a week? Like, our tradition is Sundays, I call my mom. Mm-hmm. And if I don't, or, like, I'm camping or traveling or something, then tension kind of expands because... she didn't get a call from me. Like, do I not love her anymore? And I'm like, oh, well, you can just call anytime too. But then I tend to miss her calls just about every time she calls. So.
Well, and I think one of the things that we forget often as young adults, because we're so bent on like spreading our wings and finding ourselves and figuring out what we want and we need, is that a lot of our parents are dealing with the whole empty nest syndrome. So they're trying to find their own identities apart from being a parent, managing your life, micromanaging your life, figuring out, I mean, all the identity that they have wrapped up in that. And all of a sudden, why does he only want to call us once a week? Why wouldn't he want to tell us everything going on in his life every moment of the day?
Right. And so maybe they're asking themselves the same question. Like, how do we honor our kids from... I mean, I guess they're not called to honor us, but...
This is good. I'm learning.
From far away. Yeah, yeah. So that's a good point.
That totally makes sense, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's that weird tension that we're experiencing as we're coming into adulthood of now we are adults and we want to relate to our parents as peers, in a sense. Like, to say, no, I actually have opinions about these topics too, and maybe I disagree with you on a little bit or maybe a lot, but how can I, and this is a human problem, that how can I disagree with you and still honor you?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that is a really tough balance to find. Because I still, even though there's been a lot of healing in my relationship with my parents, but specifically with my mom, there's still plenty of times where I'm like, you're, in my opinion, you are flat out wrong. Like, this is, like, harmful, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And how can I talk to you about that straight without being disrespectful? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, because, but then there's that whole line of what's perceived as disrespectful and what's actually disrespectful, which is a whole nother.
Well, and I think one of the big responsibilities that we have too, again, because remember, if we want to be adults, if we want to be treated as adults, we have to take on ownership of what adult responsibility is. So in that is not blaming our parents for everything going on in our lives. I mean, at some point you have to decide that you're going to be responsible for you. You're responsible for your spiritual walk. You're responsible for your relationships, for your attitudes, for your own mess ups, you know, and stop acting. You know, so many people get caught up in, well, you know, because my parents were this and that, this has stunted me, or now I don't know what to do with my life, or I don't. At some point you have to say enough is enough. I'm now responsible. And the flip side of that is also anything done to you by your parents or any ways you think that, you know, you kind of got screwed up, you need to let that go. And your response, the way you respond to that is going to be key. And how you're going to move forward out of that is key and is going to evidence your own maturity, I think.
Yeah, that's a really good point. What do you guys think? Jake, do you want to tell that dating story about your mom? I was just thinking.
Which dating story?
Was she
There's a lot.
Yelling.
There's a lot.
Do you know what I'm talking
about?
I just, you know, because that's another question too. It's like, how involved do you, I mean, you know, when do you introduce, especially if you live far away?
Well, and it's a little, that one's tough in the sense that I was in high school, you know, I was living under my parents' roof and I was living under their authority. And so, you know, where a lot of that conflict with my mom was there were some really, really difficult external circumstances that our family was undergoing at the time, which made it worse. But we were hitting that point, I guess I kind of mentioned earlier, where my mom and dad too, but in specific, my mom had been very much on the, you know, I kiss dating goodbye and it's all about courtship and you're never alone together. And, you know, to the, like, where I was not allowed to be alone with girls and stuff like that. And then I met the girl that is now my wife, and wanted to be exclusive with her. You know, I wanted to get to know her better and have deep conversations and be exclusive. And so that caused a lot of, and when my mom would dig in her heels, you know, kind of to Lisa's point, I would just be like, well, she's wrong, so I'm going to get around this. And so I would be sneaky and I would find times to get time with my girlfriend, you know, outside of my parents' knowledge and things like that.
Or so you thought, right?
Well, but then there were times where that was exposed.
Don't we all?
And that would cause some of that conflict. Mm-hmm. Then that would cause, and her reaction, she's very passionate and very vocal. And so there was a time where she went to, you know, my wife's house, family's house, because she thought I was there. Because my mom and I had been in a fight and I left and it was middle of the night and she thought I had gone there for some reason, even though I'd actually gone to church.
Oh my gosh, no.
I'm not kidding. I had gone to church and she thought I had gone to the girlfriend's house. And so she went to their house and was yelling, you know, for me to come out of the house, and I wasn't there, and I get a call from my girlfriend saying, your mom is outside my house shouting.
And she still married you, so it wasn't,
and she still ended up marrying me. Because my mom did, and this is a great, I guess, parent thing for any parents listening, my mom later did come and, like, repentance and confession. She came and she laid it all out for my girlfriend, you know, now my wife, and her family, and said, hey, you know, I recognize that I did all this stuff. I didn't handle this conflict well, mm-hmm. and I'm sorry to you, and I want to, you know, repent, and I just want to make it up to you, and that started that process of healing. So,
yeah, good point.
Yeah, that was it does go both ways, you know. Like you said, I reacted incorrectly to what I perceived as incorrect from my mom, and that made it worse. So I think we have to avoid those situations where we decide, because you're acting incorrectly, that means I can act how I want.
Yeah. Good point. Well, there is so much more that we could say on this subject. We've got to take it over to the blog. So those of you listening, please weigh in with your own stories, especially if they've led to some kind of breakthrough or success in relating to your own parents. I mean, there are some of you out there that have had huge letdowns from family members. A parent walked out on you. You know, I had one. This isn't as huge as a parent walking out, but one of you Boundless listeners told me one time that, you know, your folks got divorced and now your mom is like in your singles group at church, and that's super awkward. So just hard, you know, and you're like competing for guys. What's that about?
That's
not okay.
That's so
anyway, just there's just a lot of like movie in there wacky somewhere. Wacky stuff out there. So do hop on over there and join the conversation. We want to continue it there. So thanks, you guys.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Thanks.